astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, home.
Hi.
Yo.
G'day.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hackers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Just like that, Brian, is it Rego?
Rego, yep.
Rego from Madison, Wisconsin?
Yep, currently living in Green Bay, but yeah, I was born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin.
This is the shout-out guy. If you're ever on Twitter and you take a look and you're like, who's this guy shouting everybody out? This is Brian, the shout out guy. And
yep,
thankfully he's a Packer fan, because if this was a Bear fan tweeting, retweeting my name out a bunch of times, there'd be some fist fights.
Right. I asked some Bears fans or followers on Twitter that I shout out to. Why not? At some point you gotta feel sorry for him, you know, you gotta try to build them up and break them down.
Well, it's like Lions fans, right? For years, for years, Bears and Vikings fans were like, why don't you guys make fun of Lions fans? It's like, look at them. They're done. Right. They're terrible. What do we need to say? What do we need to say?
Right? I mean, now, you want to hear Bears fans shit about 1985.
Yeah.
Well, what was around when the Lions were decent, you know?
Right. Yeah. The Bears have that, you know, it's the off season. It's time for them to chirp, chirp, chirp. And then they lose a couple of games to the Packers, and then they want to throw all of their quarterbacks out. This is a great move, I think, for us Packer fans, that they got rid of Justin Fields, because sooner or later, Justin was just going to get better. So now they're going to put a brand new quarterback in there. He's going to be terrible for the next, like one of the guys tweeted out, it'll be belt to ass for 3 years. And then,
I don't get that. I mean, you saw Fields. I always begged on, like, the Ohio State quarterbacks coming out of college. But at some point, they're gonna find a good one. And I think he was it. And you got to give him – he had 1 year with DJ Moore? Really? That's all you're going to give him? And then all of a sudden, you have the chance of getting, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., and you get rid of a guy with an arm.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
It's just stupid. Is he going to pull, I saw on Twitter, is he going to pull what, like, Eli Manning pulled? Is he going to refuse to play for the Bears?
I would.
If they do draft Caleb Williams, you know?
I would.
I would. There's no way.
Yeah, that team is still a trash fire. It's like, oh, we've got some great receivers. Fantastic. You don't have an O-line. Your running back system is old and decrepit. You've got a defense that is tearing itself apart. And you're like, we're gonna sign Jalen, you know, to the biggest contract. Why are you signing that guy to a huge contract? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And what they gave up in the past to get Khalil Mack, that proved to be nothing. I mean, it helped us out more than anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's just... You know, the Packers' fourth best quarterback in history was Jay Cutler. You know, for a touchdown she threw to our defense, it was awesome. You know,
oh, every pick begins with Jay, right? Like that's every time Jay Cutler was in there, I was waiting for the pout after the second interception he would throw. you know, right. The best was it Charles Woodson? I think Charles Woodson at the end of one of the Packer games came out and he said, Jay is Jay. We know Jay. He's going to throw us the ball. It's Jay.
Oh, yeah. My man, Charles, my favorite player of all time, Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yep. I'm a Badger fan at heart, but when I was young and I was watching Badgers versus Wisconsin, Wisconsin versus Michigan, and just the way he played. It's just, you know, you play video games, you play Madden defense. You wanted to always have Charles Woodson on your team because he was always going to get the ball. And, you know, you have that cutthroat defense. And I mean, he was just offense. He played defense. And, I mean, he's just crazy good. You know, I love Charles Woodson. He's actually retweeted and tweeted some of my tweets on Twitter. So that's awesome.
Oh, very nice. He responded to one of my tweets when I said, "Hey, how come I can't get your booze up in Canada?"
Yeah, actually, that's funny because when his Intercept Wines came out, he did a signing at a Festival Foods here in De Pere, and I actually happened to have to get stitches taken out at the doctor's that night, and my wife surprised me. She sent me a picture of her and the kids taking a picture with him, and she actually got 9 bottles of his wine signed for me as a gift.
Oh,
but I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, the one time I'll ever get in my life to like meet like my football idol, and I'm getting stitches taken out, and my wife goes and gets me, you know, pictures with, you know, like, "Hey, Dad, that's Dad's, you know, idol right there." But it was cool that they got to meet him though. He's a super nice guy from what they said, and you know, I got 9 bottles of his wine sitting downstairs.
So I drive 15 hours to Green Bay, and we're staying in, technically we're staying in Stevens Point. This was in 1998. And this ages me a little bit here. Anyway, I'm standing in line at a place. I can't even remember the name of it. It was like Dave's Chicken or something, you know. It was like a side of the road chicken place, you know. They sell fried chicken and a bunch of other stuff, and there's probably about 15 people in line, and I've been standing there for about 10 minutes and the line has not moved once, and I thought, man, this is terrible, you know, like what's going on up front here. We get to the 20 minute mark and I start being un-Canadian and more American, and I go, "Hey, let's move it along here," right? I shout that up a little bit. And everybody looks at me like I just slapped Mary Magdalene. You know what I mean? I'm like, what's going on? Another 10 minutes goes by. And I'm like, come on. I said, nice and loud, right? Finally, this guy carrying like 6 bags of chicken comes walking up to me. And he goes, "Sorry, pal. They wanted pictures with me." Brett Favre. I drive 15 hours to watch him play. And there I am 2 days before. Harassing him in a fucking chicken joint just outside.
Okay. The last half an hour of me bitching, just, I'm sorry. That's just take it all back.
I know. I put my head down and people were just giving me the eye. And I said, I deserve it. I had no idea he was up there. I'm very sorry. You know, and then fast forward to about 2002, 2003, I went to Minnesota to watch a Green Bay game. And a friend of mine, he was a season ticket holder for the Minnesota Vikings, and he actually won a tour pass, right? And so you get to show up, you know, a couple hours before the game, and they take you by the locker room, they take you, you know, out onto the field, that sort of thing. And out of all these Vikings fans, all you can see is me wearing my Brett Favre jersey and my Packers cheesehead, right? And so the fans that I'm with on the tour are like, "You shouldn't even be allowed down here," and this and that. And the whole time I'm thinking, I've got to make it up. I've got to meet Brett. I've got to get the autograph. I've got to do it. And so we're standing out onto the field, and a couple of the guys, the kickers, are warming up. You know, it's real early, still, you know, 90 minutes before kickoff type thing. And all of a sudden, my buddy, he starts doing this. He starts pointing at me, like, "Look behind, look behind." I turn to my right, and as I turn to my right, a player is running to my left. He goes, "Nice jersey. It's Brett Favre." I'm standing there holding my Sharpie. I'm like, Brett, Brett. He just waved and jogged out there and started hucking balls. wouldn't stop for a second. I wanted to tell him the story about how, do you remember buying chicken
about right? 5 years
ago? And
that
there was some there was some jackass at the end of the line.
Some Canadian prick.
We're not all nice.
Yeah.
What do you think of the offseason moves so far this year?
I like them. I loved Aaron Rodgers. I love what he did for us. But towards the end, I think, you know, paying that much money for a quarterback, it's worth it if you get results.
Yeah.
Jordan Love went out and got more wins his first year than we got paying Aaron 50 plus million. You know what I'm saying? I think we're being tied up with money that we weren't getting results back in. You know what I'm saying? We're paying his money, Bakhtiari's money, if we weren't getting results. And now that we got salary cap money, we can go out and make splashes. And I honestly think that there are players in the locker room that felt like they're walking on eggshells around Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Then you got players that see how Love played his first year and how much the team likes being around him. And you got that's one of the things that brought both of the free agents to Green Bay. They both said it.
Yeah. Yeah. You love it when Rodgers is out there going, Green Bay isn't a vacation spot. People come here to play with me. And yet no one comes to play with him. Then he goes to New York and he's like, okay, OBJ comes and visits with him in New York. An hour later, he's on a plane to Baltimore and signs with Baltimore. I mean, you can't write this stuff. You can't write this stuff.
Look at Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard, he was our best receiver with Aaron Rodgers. He goes and he gets buried in the depth chart at New York. I mean, you know, that's $44 million that we saved that we would have spread out here, you know.
He wasn't Alan Lazard wasn't that number one receiver. He was definitely a number two. He was definitely a number three. He was definitely a blocking receiver and did all the grunt work. But was he that number one guy? No. And as soon as he went to New York, he found out quick, fast, and in a hurry, he is not that number one guy. He wasn't even the number four guy.
Right. And $11 million a year he was making, all of our receivers combined didn't even come close to making $11 million combined this year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's nice to have that cap space. You know, one stat that I've brought up a million times on this podcast is 90% of the time the league MVP does not play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you don't need him to win a Super Bowl. And I had a fan one time chase me down and say, hey, you can't win more than one Super Bowl without a league MVP. And I said, go tell that to Eli Manning.
Right.
Right. You don't need the league MVP to win the Super Bowl. So why do we continue? It's nice to have the best quarterback in the league. It is, but it doesn't equate when you get to the playoffs and he doesn't put up any points. He doesn't play like the league MVP. He doesn't play. That's like Michael Jordan in game 7 against the Pistons scoring 0. I mean,
right.
They would have run him out of Chicago.
Like Aaron Rodgers. Okay. What did he win his last year in Green Bay? 8 games?
Yeah.
9 games? He played with a broken thumb. Cool. How about you let Jordan Love come in and see what he can do? He didn't want to give it up, you know?
I hear that broken thumb excuse, and then I remember Brett Favre broke his thumb in the second game of the season, and I believe it was 98 or the 99 season. It was the thumb on his throwing hand. He led the league in touchdowns that year and did not miss a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every year there was a different excuse with Aaron. We don't have a defense. I need a number one receiver. They don't give me weapons. I don't need this. I got to have this. I got to have that. You know, I don't hear excuses from Jordan Love when we were 2-5. I heard Jordan Love saying, we've all got to pick it up. We've all got to play better. I know I have to play better. And that's how we're going to win games. And that's exactly what they did. They went on an absolute tear after that when they started taking ownership. When you've got that prima donna making 70, $60, $70 million a year, tying up all the cap space, wondering why we can't afford any receivers. Well, I'll tell you why. You take the lion's share of the cap and you're not giving it back. We get other experts that talk about, well, see, he's restructuring the restructure of the monopoly money. And then see, they put in a bumper and then there's an alarm system. I don't know the cap. I can tell you this. When we cut you a check big enough for 10 players, there's an issue.
Yeah. No you shit. Know? I mean, it's crazy. And I mean, like anything else, you got to realize it's a business. It's a business. Yeah. You're not going to sit there and go belly up as, you know, a GM, and you got to look out for your ass too at your job. You know, it's, you know, you got to deal with the people throwing knives at you for a year or two. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe he wasn't so stupid for, you know, letting him go or trading him or whatever he did. You know, it's,
yeah.
Then can you imagine if we would have kept Rodgers, Bakhtiari, and Davante Adams? That would have been crazy. We would have been, I mean, three guys can't win every game for you. You know?
Well, and they didn't. And they just didn't. Rodgers didn't win a Super Bowl with Davante Adams. Rodgers didn't win a Super Bowl with Bakhtiari.
Yeah. Right?
Rodgers was young in his career. The cap wasn't there yet. He wasn't taking 50, 60 million bucks. The whole team was young. We were able to grab ourselves some pretty good free agents to fill in those spots. And we ended up winning. This is what it looks like is going to happen here with Jordan Love. I'm thinking in the next year or two, maybe 3 years, we're going to get our Super Bowl. And then, unfortunately, all of those wide receivers are going to be at the end of their contracts. They're all going to have Super Bowl winner on their resume. They're all going to, you know, hey, I had 1,000 yards this year. I had 1,000 yards that year. They're all going to want more money. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, right?
Kind of like Greg Jennings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing with him is he's got to realize what got him that money. He's going to run his mouth against Aaron Rodgers at the prime of his career. You know, he's thinking he's all good at a receiver, but at the end of the day, who was throwing the ball to you?
Yeah.
Then you go to Minnesota or Miami, and you get buried again, you know?
Go ask Devontae. Ask Devontae, right? Devontae, I'm sure, is, going to put up Hall of Fame numbers with the Raiders with no quarterback whatsoever. I'm sure he's kicking himself. You know, at the same time, though, Devontae demanded 10, 12, 15 targets a game. He was being hyper-targeted by Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was so bad that teams were putting 3 and 4 guys on Devontae, and they were able to cripple our entire offense because Rodgers wouldn't look at anybody else. So it's nice to have this even spread of Jordan Love going, hey, I'll go out here and I will cook and I will take whatever they give me. And if it means Wicks gets 100 yards or Watson or Dobbs or a combination, or if everybody gets 20, so be it. We just want to win. And
I saw it in Romeo Dobbs. I saw it right away. I told my friends, and it's like he reminds me of a mixture of Nelson and Devontae. Just the way he runs his routes, the way he jumps for the ball, I can see both of them in one person, and that's awesome. You know, I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for the Packers receivers' future. You know, it's awesome. It's a refreshing feeling. You know, being the oldest guy on our team is Preston Smith at 31 years old is awesome. You know, it's good.
It's nice to have these young guys out there that are competing with each other, that are pushing each other. And it's also nice to have a group that does not fully understand what they're capable of. Because it's just like when we won in 2010, this was a young group that really didn't know any better. We had no business making the playoffs. And then we had no business beating Philadelphia, beating Atlanta, beating the Bears, business beating the Steelers. And they did it, and it was almost as if they won the Super Bowl, and then they look back and they said, holy crap, did we just do that? And then once that happens to a team, that team has a hard time getting back there. As we've noticed, teams repeating, winning multiple championships, this is a very rare, rare thing. You know, you get a lot of these kids that are 25, 26 years old, and they go, well, the Patriots did it. And it's like, okay, well, before the Patriots, nobody was doing that, unless you count – the years where there was no cap and Jerry Jones bought one 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady, he was willing to not make all this money and stuff, but then they gave him money on the backside with his training. And I mean, he was getting money that, you know, no one knew about from the Patriots, but you know, they, because it didn't, they use his training agency or something like that to, to pay him. But still, he was still taking pay cuts to get, you know, players to come in and whatnot. And but yeah, it's just crazy, this, like, the story in Green Bay of, like, the last few years. It's, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? You know, the dark hole retreat. And it's just, shut up. You know, it's like
ayahuasca. Yeah. The guy's arguing against vaccines and vaccine companies, and yet he's taking money from Johnson & Johnson to play football. I mean, you can't write this stuff. Like, this is so... Yeah. It's so off the wall bizarre. And you're right. I absolutely love the fact that that drama is not around. We had a little bit of drama in Aaron Jones being released. I think that was a bit of a shocker towards everybody. I said on the podcast a dozen times, there's no way they release him, right? Yeah. There's no way we let him go. But apparently there was some animosity there. And, you know, and honestly, I love Aaron Jones. Don't get me wrong. But Josh Jacobs is 3 years younger, almost 4 years younger. He's going to be in the long run less money. He's more durable. He puts up more numbers. He has that home run hitting speed. Whereas if you think of Aaron Jones ever breaking free, he always seems to be getting caught. He doesn't seem to have that breakaway speed that we need out of a running back. You know, you think way back to Amon Green playing against Denver and breaking a 98-yard touchdown from our own goal line, you'd never see Aaron Jones being able to do that. He'd be caught by the 40.
Yeah. I mean, then you know, he's Aaron Jones was physical too, but Josh Jacobs, I mean, Alabama, he's physical. And then you throw in AJ Dillon, you know?
Yeah.
They're just going to get beat down. I think they're going to, I think they're going to draft. It'd be nice as a hometown kid to see Braylon Allen come in as that third running back, just because he's built like a stallion, you know. He's huge, you know. Yeah. And he
you can say brick shithouse. That's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just don't want to mumble it up because I sometimes mix words and everything. But he's built like a brick shithouse. He is, you know.
He is.
I mean, Josh Jacobs, giving him a breather. Oh, you got A.J. Dillon. Okay, then you got Braylon Allen. I mean, it's just going to wear defense down, you know?
I'm excited about this year. I still think we need a little offensive line help. I think we need maybe a little corner safety help and some interior linebacker help as well, especially with Campbell leaving. I have been playing with the idea of maybe Preston Smith playing that Campbell-Mike spot. But as I talked to Matt Ramage, he promptly put that right to bed, said no, that's never happening.
I mean, is McDuffie, is he the guy though? You think he can go out there and play middle?
I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I think that he can for some plays. He can give you those spells, but he can't. We need a true Mike linebacker. That guy that's going to be in on every play, that's going to call the defense, going to be in charge. We need that guy. And we don't have that guy right now.
Yeah. What do you think of Cooper DeJean at corner? I'm not sold on him, I don't think.
Here's my problem with Cooper DeJean, okay? And listen, first off, he's a great football player. And if I had half the talent he had, I mean, I would be a very, very blessed man. So before anybody starts sending me DMs and messages about why the Cooper DeJean hate, I don't have hate for him. This is the way I see it shaking down. I don't think he'll be there at 25. I think he'll be gone in the first 15. There's about four or five teams that really need that help back there. And moving Cooper from corner to safety, people go, oh, it's an easy transition. Is it? We did that with Rollins. We did that with Randall. We did that with, you know, we've tried this a bunch of times. You need to draft a guy who plays that position. I don't think Cooper DeJean is going to be there when we want him. And I don't think we're going to trade up to go and get him. So I just don't think he's going to be available to us. That 25 pick in that first round, that's really like an early second round pick. And I think Cooper's gone by then. I think he's right. gone by 25. I think he's gone before 15, 16, really, because of the hype. As soon as Packer fans, like us Packer fans, need to learn to shut the hell up. Because as soon as we see a good player, everybody starts tweeting, everybody starts talking, blah, 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 blah. And other teams start to take notice. And then before you know it, they're taking them instead of the guy they needed just to screw with us, right? The Vikings did that one year. The Bears have done that. The Lions have done that to us, right? So yeah. I think as Packer fans, we need to just like have a signal, you know, like maybe the old hat tip or something. You know,
when we see a guy,
yeah, we tap our nose like, that's the guy. That's the guy we want. And everybody just nods, yes. And when people ask, we say, oh, no, Cooper DeJean, terrible.
He sucks.
Terrible. Can't, he runs like he's pushing a piano.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a corner, but then it's like, well, we got Jair.
Yeah.
We got
Stokes.
We got Stokes coming off you know, like, God damn it. I mean, it's like. The hamstring injury is just holy shit, you know. That was just so frustrating. But I think he's gonna come back healthy. And I don't know. I when it comes to like corners and stuff, I always think of like the SEC, you know, getting people from down south or it's just they seem to have it. I mean, the only one that I can think of, I mean, you got what Bull Melton's brother at Rutgers, he looks decent in that zero from Michigan. He looks at Sinistro. But was he a safety or was he a corner?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see it in DeJean. I really don't. I mean, people can throw darts at me. I don't care. You know, whatever.
I don't think he'll be there. I think we go. And I predict. This is my prediction. And let me say this. Let me explain this to you before I tell you my prediction. In all the years that I have ever watched the draft. Or thought about the draft or participated in mock drafts, I've only ever been right with one player, Eddie Lacy. Every other pick I've been dead wrong about. I've never come close. I thought, oh, we're going wide receiver. We take we take Rashawn Gary. Oh, we're going offensive tackle. Or we take Jair. Like there's so many times where I am convinced this is the guy we're taking that we are not taking that guy. So that's why I'm saying first round pick, offensive tackle. Bakhtiari's gone. Nyman's gone. Walker only graded out at 66.4. I know some fans will say, oh, the last two games. Yes, the last two games he played pretty well. I'll give you that. Love was sacked 30 times during the season. That's 28 too many as far as I'm concerned. He needs to be upright. He can't be getting hit. We don't have Brett Favre back there that can take a hit, bounce right back up and play 212 games. We've got Jordan Love. And we found out, remember with Aaron Rodgers, when our quarterback goes down, we're in trouble.
Yeah, big time. But I think though, I mean, I like Sean Clifford too as a backup. I think he showed, I didn't really like him at Penn State because, you know, Wisconsin, but as a Packer, I like him. You know, he has an army, he has the zing, and he makes quick decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, heaven forbid Love goes down. I don't want him to, obviously, but if he does go down, I still feel comfortable with Sean Clifford as a backup. But like you said, we need to protect him. And it showed a couple years ago when we played, when COVID was just an injury, was hitting our offensive line. You had everyone switching around, and I don't think Rodgers got sacked one game. And that's like, it shows that, you know, we can move people around and bring people in. But I think we still need to have security at the offensive line. I'm with you on that for sure. Generally, but also, back in my head, I want to get like an edge rusher like Chop Robinson or, you know.
There's so many guys that I want. I'm like, listen, we need Marvin Harrison Jr., we need Chop, we're not going to get them. We're just not, it's just not going to happen. We might get one of these guys I want somewhere, might fall, slip in the cracks. But, you know, at the same time, when I heard of Rasul Douglas, I was like, why the hell are we getting some guy? We're putting him out there and we're playing him. And then, well, Goot was right. Valentine. Why do we have these two guys back there with names sound so familiar? They don't look any good. After a couple of games, I'm like, okay, so Goot was right. Like every time. He picks these guys, I think to myself, what a stupid pick. And then, well, he was right. You know?
Yeah. And the thing, too, is like, I mean, people are like, oh, we should draft a tight end. Okay, maybe, but we already have two solid tight ends, you know?
We got three. We got three. Yeah. And actually, we've got four, if you include Davis, right? So we've got Musgrave, we've got Kraft, and we've got Sims. Sims caught the first touchdown of the year, right?
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. And then we've also
Davis
got that.
Is more for like special teams, but still, you know?
Well, that's it four. How many tight ends are we going to have? We're going to have 12 tight ends on the team? Come on.
Yeah. Look what happened to Tonyan. He went to Chicago and he disappeared too.
He disappeared after his knee. After his knee, yeah. He disappeared. That he lost a step. He ran different. Yeah, I feel for Robert Tonyan. That that was a tough injury, tough loss for Robert Tonyan. Listen,
we got DeGuara too.
No, didn't we release DeGuara?
Did we? I'm not sure. I didn't see him going anywhere. I got my last like five, six draft classes and written down, and I just looked at DeGuara. I don't remember seeing him going anywhere, but I guess I could be wrong too, you know, because it was his rookie contract. So, because he was drafted in the same year AJ Dillon was drafted.
Yeah, you know, and DeGuara again was another guy that didn't pan out the way we were hoping. Kraft and Musgrave are our two studs. These guys they're him. I mean, they are interchangeable too, right? And especially, you know, Musgrave will come back with fire in his belly because he was hurt and gone for a little while.
Packers without borders.
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 Packers without borders. The greatest podcast on the planet.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Packers Without Borders. And if you have not got your head out of your collective ass already, now is the time. Get some.
It's time for Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
What did the boy squirrel say to the girl squirrel? Want to see my nuts?
This has been Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
The best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best!
The best of the best.
Better than the best!
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
I hear that you've got yourself an offensive line in that household.
I do.
You've got five children.
Yep, I got a 14-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, 11-year-old son, 10-year-old son, and a 7-year-old daughter.
So he's got to look up into the left, which is accessing the memory part of his mind there. I love that. I love that. There's so many kids that he's like, wait a minute, I thought I had a 9-year-old in there.
Hey, hold on. No, it's 10-year-old. No, yeah. See what happened. The first two were girls. We didn't find out the sex of the first two, and they were girls. The wife could kind of tell that, you know, I kind of wanted to have a boy. So we tried again, we got pregnant, and we didn't find out the first two, we found out the sex. It was girls. Then the third one, we didn't find out. It was a boy. And then 4 came along, we didn't find out, and that was a boy. Number 5 came along, we found out it was a girl, and then we're done at 5. Like, we're only going to have 2, but, you know, things happened, you know, whatever, and we ended up with 5. But, you know, we wouldn't change a thing about it. It's a lot of work, a lot of headaches, but it's worth it in the end, you know.
Yeah, all of it's worth it. I'm just astonished that you're able to stay upright and awake and alert, because I would just be in a comatose state with five. I've got two. I've got a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old. And yeah, as soon as rugby's over, basketball, as soon as basketball's over, there's baseball, then there's swimming. And then, oh, and don't forget, we're also doing, you know, this arts and crafts thing. And oh, yes, there's this video gaming. And then, oh, don't forget about the, I mean, I run a business and I do more work for those two children than I do my own business. I promise you.
Yeah. That. I've got my 14-year-old's going out for the soccer team, and they started yesterday. She had from 4 to 6:30. They had to go back from 7:15 to 8:30. Then tonight it's 4 to 6:30, and then come back from 8 to 9:30 at night. It's like, oh my God, you know. And then I'm coaching my son in soccer this year. I coached him last year. Actually, a funny Packer related. A couple years ago, I had LaFleur's youngest boy on my basketball team.
Nice.
Yeah, super nice guy. Went up and talked to him at one of the games and, you know, introduced myself or whatever. And I had a pizza party for my team and got me a gift card or whatever. I went and thanked him for it. And he, super nice, chill, laid back guy, talked about like him going to school and college and coaching and everything. And super nice guy. He's, you know, you got teams that take pictures at the end of the tournaments and stuff, and they always try to include him in it. And, you know, it's kind of like you'll be sitting there, all of a sudden the whole crowd will go quiet and you'll see him walk in and everything. But, you know, it's kind of something that I had to get used to as well, of having him around. You know, it was kind of cool. You know, yep, it's Coach LaFleur, you know. But
that, you know, and to some extent, and I'm not comparing myself to LaFleur, I am comparing myself a little bit to that situation. I coached at a major level for 10 years, and I'm a little bit famous, if you know your football history in my town. Maybe a little bit, maybe not so famous, but a couple of people every now and then say, hey, that guy owes me $10, that sort of thing, right? Like, yeah. But every year, with every coach that my daughter has ever had, they're always like, oh, would you like to come and coach this? We'd love to help you, get you to do this. We'd love to get you to do that. I'm not going to coach my kids. I want them to experience the coaches that I had, where one year you have a bad coach, the next year you have a good coach, and then you can tell the difference. And then you can kind of sort these things out for yourselves. These are lessons you need to learn. With my own children, when they ask me for advice, I tell them about everything that they are doing perfectly. And I use that term all the time. This is perfect. Yeah. You are perfect with this. Perfect, perfect, perfect. You're going to want to work on this more, and you're going to want to work on that more, but you're perfect on this and perfect. You got to give them that compliment sandwich so that they walk away and they know that I'm doing a lot of things right. These are the couple of minor things I need to work on. And when you put it to them that way, they tend to hyper focus on those minor things, which is kind of what you're trying to achieve, right? Right. Is that you know, my daughter was infamous for shooting with two hands over her head, constant two hands. And she's like, why isn't it going in? I'm like, because you can't do two hands. It's got to be one hand and no chicken wings. It's got to be inside. And we'd work and work and work on it. And if I constantly praised, and then minor critiqued the things that I was really, you know, worried about her doing, the chicken wings when she shoots, you know, the elbows out, no, elbows in when you shoot, compact, right? She would hyper-focus on those and became even better and even, I mean, she's a much better athlete than I ever was. I can say that. Much better athlete than I ever was. And she goes to track from 3:30 to 5, and then she's at volleyball practice from 5:30 to 7:30, and then she finishes at 7:30, and she doesn't leave the court because basketball practice starts at 7:30. So she's at the school from 8:30 in the morning when it starts, and I pick her up at 9:30 at night.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I look back and I think, man, I was in football. We had two-a-days where we had, you know, 2-hour practice in the summer. Then we had a little break. Then we had to come back for more. Then you think of like, when I went to school, I had practice. I lift weights. Then I went to my part-time job because if I wanted to have, you know, certain things I had to pay for. So I wanted video games. I wanted CDs. I wanted, DVDs. Kids nowadays are like, what the hell are CDs? Well, you know, yeah. Whatever. If you liked one song, if you wanted to hear that song over and over and over again, you had to like buy the whole CD. And it's just like, you know, and trying to fit in homework. It's like, I always made sure my homework was done before I left school, you know, but now it's just, everything is so different with the, you know, today's generation. It's just, everything changes with time, you know. It's just crazy to think about.
I know we're starting to sound like those old timers. Hey, back in my day, we
back
used to have to walk
backwards in 15 feet of snow with no shoes on, you know.
We didn't have milk cartons. We carried it in our hands.
Yeah. It's just crazy how things adapt with time, you know. It's like you get frustrated with your kids and their homework and their grades sometimes, and it's like, well, things are different from when I was in school, and it's just the way it is. It's more the parents have to adapt than the kids, because it's like it's what they know, it's what they're used to, it's not what we're used to, you know. So
that's like the COVID homeschooling, right? I found out quick, fast, and in a hurry that I am terrible at math, grade 8 math. I am horrible at it.
I was on second shift or first shift then? Well, anyways, imagine that and having 5 kids on Chromebooks.
Yeah.
All at once. We had to separate them all throughout the house because you can't concentrate when you can hear, you know, him over here talking to his teacher and then her over here talking to her teacher. You can't even hear what the hell is going on. That was just crazy.
I loved when every now and then the teacher would say, maybe your dad can help you. And I was like, are you nuts? I'm sitting in on this class. I'm trying to learn it.
you mean the dad that after his freshman year of high school had no math classes because he didn't like math class. He got his math credits that he needed and he was done with math.
Well, yeah. Didn't you take math in university? And I'm like, well, technically I did, but I didn't have to show up to class because I was on the football team.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, I got a B, but
yeah.
I don't know calculus.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I wouldn't even know where to start with calculus. I have no idea. I don't use it in my life and I don't intend to. So I don't, you know, bring myself around it at all.
You know, like my daughter, she is graduating with honors and distinction, which means that her lowest mark is like a 98. And, wow. You know, I took my kids the other day. They had the day off from school and we went to our local restaurant. I live in a little small town here in Manitoba and they've got only a couple of restaurants. And so we went to the local restaurant. We're sitting down having a meal. And one of the teachers that teaches my daughter comes over and said, you know I'm interrupting your meal. I'm sorry. I want to tell you about, you know, how great your daughter is, how smart she is and this and that. And they said, how come, you know, we never see you at the parent teachers? And I said, oh, because I don't fuck with it if it ain't broke.
Right. Like, broke, don't fix it.
I'm like, she doesn't want my input. Trust me, her grades would go down with my input. I'm like, I back away.
You're talking to the wrong parent.
Yeah. Like, don't ask me. I'm like, no, ask her, right? Ask her. Listen, I got right. I got a game I want to play with you before we finish up here. It's called That's Canadian, eh?
Good day, eh?
So these are terms that are used in Canada, and they have, you know, there's American equivalent of these terms. Okay.
Okay.
So I want you to, these are everyday terms that get used all the time. You're probably going to recognize at least half of these, I believe. I mean, as I go over them, I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be a little too easy, but I've played this game before with other people and sometimes they completely brain fart and have no idea. So let me start with the first one. What is brown bread?
Wheat?
Yeah, whole wheat. That's exactly it. We call it brown bread up here, right? So when the waitress comes over and she goes, "Do you want that on white or brown?" Right? I'll take brown bread, right? That's 100% whole wheat.
Yep. Okay.
That's a Canadian term. See, nice and easy. These are softballs coming in here. Eaves troughs.
Gutters.
Exactly. You guys call them gutters. We call them eaves troughs. Pencil crayons.
Colored pencils?
The colored pencils, exactly, right? A garburator.
A garburator?
Yeah.
Garbage disposal?
Yeah, the garbage disposal in your sink. That's exactly, we call them a garburator, right?
I'm Italian and Irish. I don't know about, maybe I'm Canadian too.
You might be. A click.
A click?
Yep.
Like a group of people, like.
No, that's okay. Let me put it to you this way. How far away is that guy? About 20 clicks.
Miles?
Kilometers. Kilometers. Yeah. Kilometers. So kilometers are a little bit longer. Yeah. Okay. Deek.
No idea.
So if you're in hockey and you got the stick and you move the puck around the guy, that's called a deek. You deeked him out.
Like a juke.
Yeah, exactly. Like a juke.
Yeah.
Except with a hockey puck, of course. A stag or a stagette party?
No, can you elaborate?
Yes. Before I got married, I had a stag party.
Bachelor party.
Yeah, bachelor, bachelorette. We call them stag or stagettes, right?
Okay.
Hydro. We got to pay the hydro bill.
Water bill.
No, electricity.
Electric. Okay. Electricity.
Most of our electricity up here is hydroelectric electricity, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Works in the winter. Ted Cruz, if you're listening, works great in the winter. Just putting that out there. Ted Cruz, I know, likes it. Oh, a coal is the only thing that works. It's like, that's weird because up here in Canada, where it's 40 or 50 times colder than Texas, hydroelectric and wind and solar work just fine. Molson muscle.
Budweiser.
No. Molson muscle. So you know how people say, hey, look, I got the six pack. So somebody with a beer gut, we call that Molson muscle.
Oh, okay. The beer gut. I get it.
The beer gut, right? Yeah, people always say, hey, look, I got the six pack. And then I always say, yeah, I got the whole keg.
Yeah, right? Two kegs.
And KD. For lunch just today, I made the kids KD.
Lunch and dinner?
For lunch, I made the kids KD.
Mac and cheese?
Yeah, Kraft dinner, mac and cheese. That's what we call it. Okay. KD. We call it KD.
Okay.
There's my lame attempt at, that's Canadian, eh? You got them all but two. You had them all but two.
Well, I have been to Canada once back. My middle brother, we traveled a lot for him for soccer around the U.S., but one time he had a tournament in Toronto. So I have been to Toronto.
That's not Canada.
I've been in the Hard Rock Cafe in the CN Tower. I've laid on the glass floor before, so I have been to Canada.
Yeah, everybody else in Canada does not call Toronto Canada at all. We call Buffalo. We call it U.S. Light.
Yeah, it's Buffalo. It's Buffalo North.
yeah. A lot of jerks come from Toronto. I could say that if you're listening and you're from Toronto, you know exactly what I mean. You're either a real nice guy or you're a jerk. And the ratio is like 10 jerks for every one nice guy. I can guarantee you that. I don't care. DM me, send me an email. I don't care. You're a jerk. Right.
Yeah. Hey, I'll back him up. You're a jerk.
It's like that rivalry, you know, like the rest of Canada always looks at Toronto because Toronto is like the main stage. right? Yeah. Toronto's like your New York City, that sort of thing. So whenever we whenever we get into those whenever we hear about Toronto, we're always like, those bastard Toronto, curses.
Yeah, listen, that's Brian, like us, that's like us leaving Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Chicago, you know, whatever.
Right? Bastards. Bastards. Listen, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, getting to know you a little bit here. Tell everybody where they can find you on the Twittersphere.
You can find me at headcheese920.
And he is that guy that does all of those shout outs. Give him a follow. Follow along. He's a great follow. He's a great, great personality on Twitter. And if he's a Packer fan, he's even better. So,
well, thank you.
All right, man. You take care of yourself. And I'll finish by saying peace and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die. This is the end. Story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town. Hey, hey, whoa. Keep away from a run around sewer. Whoa. She goes.